I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song. A podcast likes to live in the land of musicals, or spooky musicals in this case. I'm your host, John, and with me today is one of the hosts from Film Rage and Bestie of the Pod, Jim Evans, everyone!
Woo!
Spooky! And nothing says Halloween like mermaids. Am I right, Jim?
Oh, murderous mermaids.
Mermaids.
Oh, sorry. Musical murderous mermaids.
Well, mermaids are musical creatures if you think about the actual lore of it. Which is funny because today we're talking about the lore, L-U-R-E, not L-O-R-E.
Oh, one letter. What could you do?
Oh, one letter. It is a 2015 Polish film, so we're going to have some fun with names.
And I've got a lot of things in my mind going on with Polish words, so yeah.
So the screenplay for this was written by Robert Bolesto, music by Barbara Wronska, lyrics by Zuzana Wronska. I'm assuming that's how you say their names.
It was directed
by Agnieszka Smolczewska. I believe I pronounced that correctly. I've listened to it. So I don't know how well you know you've listened, Jim, but I'm bad when it comes to names. And so this one, I was just like, oh no, we gotta listen. So I listened to like the automated Google lady say it like 20 times, and I think I still messed it up.
Who knows if she's right though? I mean, let's face it.
True. So director of the lore, if I fucked up your name, I'm so sorry. Please send me an email and tell me how it's pronounced. And according to IMDb, in Warsaw, a pair of mermaid sisters are adopted into a cabaret. While one seeks love with humans, the other hungers to dine on the human population of the city. Okay, I'm gonna say no to about half, the last half of that.
You know what? We don't know their initial intention, but maybe.
I mean, it seems like Golden, which is the character, the English translated character name that they're giving to the murderous mermaid, is just eating. Like, she's not actively, you know, like, I'm going to kill everyone. Like, they eat their hearts.
Yeah, well, there is, and I think some of the organ meat, because they mentioned that later in the movie, but there is that song where, you know, she talks about the fact that she's got murderous thoughts in the evening, so maybe she's not, like, it was the thoughts that she talks about, so I'm assuming, you know, maybe they also can have other stuff, because you're seeing them having shots of vodka and this and that, right? So it's one of those films I feel that you can interpret probably a few different ways, because even when they're being pulled out of the ocean, right? It's like, what is the song? What's the lyrics that they're saying? They're saying, you know, bring us up on land. We won't eat you.
Well, here's the thing. I actually did a little more work on this than I should have, than I do in other episodes.
Well, I'm impressed. Impressed.
Because it is a foreign film, I used Translate, which, you know, is never a good thing either. But, like, there's some things that they translated weirdly. Like, the actual title, I'm not even going to try and pronounce it. But when you translate it, it is Daughters of Dancing. Mm. It's not the lore. The lore, like, I don't know how they came up, like, I know how they came up with that, because that's supposed to be their band name when the mermaids join the band, but I'm like, you clearly have a different title.
Yeah, but okay, so here's the thing, right? With films in general, there's sometimes a film will change its name multiple times before it actually has wide release. So I've seen, I would say, I want to go with maybe a number of 7%. 7% of the films that I see in film festivals, and we see many film festival films, come out with a different name once they're released in wide release. So that's the tough thing, especially with international films, is sometimes the direct translation doesn't match what the word that they wanted to use for international. And so, yes, the song
literal title
is, yeah. So the song is the song it, or the band is the lure, but also, like, when you think of it, mermaids and maybe closely assimilated, or actually in some cultures are sirens, right? So yes. So which is like the entire lore, back to L-O-R-E, of sirens is to lure,
lure, L-U-R-E, yes,
yeah, to men to their deaths, right? So,
well, people in this case,
yeah, in this pick, yeah.
Because I'm not sure if Golden killed that policewoman.
Yeah, I don't know either. But, you know.
And during that song, the song, which translates to policewoman, by the way, I just wrote down, oh, hello, foreign film sex scene, when she licked the fin.
Oh, I was like, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
This is the best fin-licking scene I've ever seen in a movie, for sure.
I'm just like, oh, God. I also really hope that those women who played the mermaids got paid very well for being basically naked for half the movie.
Well, only half of them was naked.
Well, they had to have be makeuped in, like, to look, yeah, like, I mean, Barbies.
They're
basically, I mean, they're, naked with, like, a...
Yeah.
Thin piece of latex or something covering up, you know, their booty hole.
Yeah. The makeup in this is fantastic.
Fantastic.
Like, I tried my damnedest to see lines or anything. Like when Silver slides into the bathtub, when she wants the guy to have sex with her fin hole, and she lures him into the tub. I was looking so hard to see, and that tail was real. I swear, they're real mermaids.
They were, I think I read on IMDb trivia that, like, they were, the tails were 6 feet long and weighed over 50 pounds. So they were real tails.
Yeah.
Cause they went with more of like an eel, like.
Yeah. Tail.
Tail. Mm-hmm. Also, the director was describing them as dragons, which is what's used in 14th to 16th century mermaid lore, L-O-R-E. So that's why they went with more of like a monster instead of like pretty. And also, I found this on IMDb trivia, and I want to quote it. This is from the director. A mermaid doesn't need to wear a bra because she doesn't feel that she's naked. All she wanted to, and she wanted to tell about creatures that do not feel ashamed because they are not human beings. When you see mermaids in paintings and in sculptures, they don't wear bras. Bras were put on via Disney, not artists, because Disney was for kids. That's why they had to add the bra. So that's why I'm like, I hope they got paid very well, because they're just, they're topless the majority of the movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, being as how we're North American prudes, that's one of the things about Europeans in general. They're not raised to be prudes.
Now,
right? Like,
I'm not so prudish about it. I'm more why do they have nipples?
Well, probably because it's the same reason that female, you know, humans have nipples to feed their babies.
But they're fish.
Yeah, but we don't know how mermaids give birth. We don't know how mermaids, like, I don't know if they had an egg sac or if they deliver live. We did, you know, they didn't,
I didn't go that
show
far
the
into,
entire, yeah, they didn't show the whole
mode.
true biology of mermaids, right?
This is a great moment where I wish I had somebody else here. You know, like here at Life's But a Song, we had a whole team of researchers that during the recording, one person could be looking up mermaid lore about how they have sex.
But here's the thing. You know what? If you can buy into the fact that there's mermaids, you can buy into the fact that anything you want to believe. So that's one of those things I find about fantasy and science fiction, when people will get, like, I'll get really technical about real science, but if it's fantasy science, it's like, you can't get stuck on things like fantasy science, because also, it's like, don't know, right? Like make-believe. So, you know, what, how are you going to judge it?
I'm also surprised, Jim, that you picked this movie, because I know you're a lover of opera.
Yes.
And this isn't technically an opera, but I feel like it. I mean, obviously, it's based off of the Little Mermaid tale with Silver, the other mermaid, the non-murderous one. And I was just like, just make Rusalka. See, I knew you'd get a giggle out of that one. Rusalka, for those who don't know, is an opera that is the Little Mermaid.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously it's on stage. So, however, with this, since it's a movie, you can do it. Just do the opera.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know what? This may or may not be an actual foreshadowing of what my flats are. But
because it's not a musical? Or not an opera?
It's not an opera. They could have made this an opera so easily. So easily. Because there isn't a lot of dialogue in it. There's so much music in this. There's so much music in this. They could have easily made this an opera. Easily made it an opera.
Yeah, I counted out of the list I gave you, which was incorrect. Thank you, IMDb, for fucking that up too.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There are 17 songs in an hour and a half long movie. So that's a lot. I mean,
yeah.
It's not, but it is at the same time, because we're teetering. I may have missed some because I was okay. So it's an hour and a half long. I think it took me about 2 hours, 2+ hours to watch this movie, because I would pause and be like, what song is this now? And what is the translation of it? And like I said, I did the translate, and then I found the album on iTunes. I didn't buy it. I almost did, because the songs are pretty fire, as the kids say. But I was just like, what is this? And what's the translation? And what is the one that... And so I was like listening and being like, it's this one is next. After I Feel Love.
the one of the only English sung songs in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think she did a great job. Like,
I wish though it was like up there, you know, in the stratosphere that Donna Summer sang it.
You can't. That's like saying, okay, and we may have had this argument before, I don't know, but it's like anybody trying to sing Hallelujah better than Katie Lang. Like, it's not a thing, right? It's like, it's already been done. Don't try again, everybody.
Rufus Wainwright.
Excuse me, Katie Lang.
No, but like for I Feel Love, though, I've just watched this for this. I haven't seen this before. Did you see this at one of your film festivals? Is that why you picked it? Okay. Yeah. Jim is nodding his head yes, for those of you who aren't on the Zoom call with us. So for I Feel Love, I think it's a weird choice. I don't understand it. I mean, I get it, because they're trying to set the time frame. I'm still not sure where we are. Like,
what era? Yeah.
According to Wikipedia, it says 80s. And yeah. I'm assuming that's what it is because of styling and technology and all that.
The musical stylings too, right? Like all the synth, music and styles, right? Of the writing. So,
and since I Feel Love is like one of the few last disco songs, it makes sense. And it also kind of makes sense for Silver's storyline.
Yep.
But for the person who's singing it, whose name I think is said once in the whole movie that I don't know who she is, I'm going to call her Mom for lack of a better.
That's what I was basically doing. Mom, Dad, and illegitimate son.
Not Evan Peters.
Yeah, because the illegitimate son has sex with his mother. So it's like,
are they a family?
No, they don't. They don't ever show that. But I'm assuming that they're not. If the mom's giving him a blowjob, so I don't think they are. I think he's just, you know, part of the band. He's the bass player.
Because there's not Evan Peters, and then Golden is played by not Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, of course not.
She looks like the off-brand Anna Kendrick. That's why I was like,
I think she's better looking than Anna Kendrick personally, but that's me.
But at least I picked somebody who's also a singer.
Yeah, you did actually. And she's a good singer.
Oh yeah.
So,
but yeah, so Mom had. Oh. Okay, pin on that, John. Don't jump ahead real quick. So Mom sings I Feel Love, which she's fucking Dad, who is the drummer of this band. Yes? Yes. Mm-hmm. Not the club owner.
No.
That's a different dude. That's a different dude who's super sleazy.
Oh, it's super sleazy.
And the band adopts these two mermaids that they meet in the cold open as part of their family.
Well, I, you know, in this, sorry to jump in, but I was going to say, like, in this culture, mermaids are a thing. People know about mermaids. They exist, they walk among them, right? And so the beginning of the movie starts with them luring them onto the shore. Like, that song, in my opinion, is intent, because it's obviously their band isn't popular. So they're like, you know what we need? We need a siren / mermaid in our band. So they go down to the beach and lure them out. And there's obviously some kind of, you know, what do they call that? You know, like a cult thing that bring that, like, not a seance isn't the word I'm looking for, but like when you have like religious ceremonies. Oh, like a
ritual?
Yeah, like a ritual. That's the word I'm thinking. Thanks, my brain. I'm still early here. It's like a ritual to get them to come on land. That's the interpretation that I took of it, because they're communicating through music, and the mermaids sing back, yeah, you know, it's kind of like that thing of, you know, please come aboard, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then the mermaids are like, we will come aboard, but we won't eat you. Right? Like, it's like, okay, well, yeah, come on. And so to me, it was like they planned it from the beginning. It wasn't just random that they were there. And
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. And I think the mom too, just because we see that later, the whole I feel love ties to the mother's love of her children. Because you find later when she's breastfeeding them.
And okay. That was the pin I wanted to put.
Yeah. So
I was like, what is happening with this sequence? So yeah. While the mom is trying to hook up with the dad.
Yep.
And we're using air quotes around these, everyone.
A lot of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless we say like an actual character name, or if we're describing a character, it's air quotes. Yeah. So there's a scene where the mom is having sex with the dad, and she has a daydream, if you will, of her breastfeeding the two mermaids, and she's also a mermaid, which I was like, is she a mermaid?
I don't know, maybe, you don't know, like that's just it, right? Like,
because when we meet Triton,
yeah,
I don't think he's a mermaid, or is he a mermaid?
He was a mermaid, 100% he was a mermaid, yeah.
But we don't see him transform.
No, but it doesn't matter, right? Like he talks, there's multiple things within the movie where he talks about he was hooked by a fisherman and that he had to rip it out himself. That's why he's got the scar. And then he talks about the lure with Golden later about how Silver has to be careful. And then So there's a lot of that. And then he's the one that's kind of like,
he's the one that brings in the Hans Christian Andersen of it all. You're
right. Yeah. Right. So yeah, he's definitely. So, and that's just it. I think it's kind of, it, what I liked a lot about it was that it's like part of their culture. They, you know, that whole Walk Among Us thing, the mermaids are here and everybody knows it and it's okay. As long as, you know, not to get eaten by one.
Well, oh, that's the point I wanted to make. So when Golden and Silver perform with the band for the first time and they go into that giant martini glass of water and they turn into mermaids, like, I think the audience doesn't know mermaids are real because of the shocked expressions on their faces.
It could be, or it was just, you know, it never
like
been
a magic
done
trick.
Before. Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it could have been a magic trick, or it could have been like, this is the great reveal. Like, we have two mermaids, right? Like, you don't know, right? But because no matter what, like, let's say you did know mermaids existed. I mean, how often are you going to see one? Because I don't think that, you know, it's a huge population of mermaids. So when you see two appear, young, hot mermaids, you're going to cheer and be excited and, you know, all that anyway, right? I mean, you're in a house of debauchery, so.
And the thing, though, with these mermaids is that the rules are just whatever they want it to be. Like, obviously, they make an effort to say, if your legs get wet, they will turn into a tail, right? Okay.
Yep.
But after...
Because there's raining a lot.
after they allegedly come back to life from being punched out by dad, and then the family does the stupidest thing, is that they assume they're dead, so they dump them in the water, which you're like, come on, guys. Like, I know it's the 80s, but you've watched them literally transform in water. So what makes you think that, like, dumping them into water won't give them some sort of magical properties? And then they kill the gay couple, and I'm very upset about that, but that's neither here nor there. So when they come back, though, to the club after they die, they quote-unquote die and everything, it is pouring out. So I'm like, where are your tails? Like, your legs are exposed. You're wearing raincoats that... And you're
could have covered their legs,
but still, where are your tails? Like, come on, you can't just say this is the one rule that we have, and then for the one scene, be like, oopsies, we're gonna break it.
Maybe they just stayed inside the car the whole time. It started raining after they're in the car.
No, that you see them outside the club,
yeah,
in the rain,
but they were wearing rainproof pants. You don't know that they were wearing pants, they weren't wearing bare legs.
They're naked half the movie.
Except when they're wearing pants.
They never wear pants. They wear dresses.
Maybe they were see-through. Maybe they're plastic. Like, they gotta know this. I mean, they live in an area where there's, well, seems like there's a lot of rain going on. So, I mean, there was a lot of rain going on. And if we go back to them killing the gay couple, like, that's a huge honor. It brought them back to life.
Yeah, but it was the gay couple. Like, it was representation. Just like,
yeah, but it was honor. It was
it's
like
1980s gay couple. So they're not about to be.
Bad. Yeah, exactly.
They're not. Well, not for, you know, AIDS or anything related. It's just that they were having a secret moment and they weren't allowed to be out and proud. I don't know. No, Poland is very.
Well, it used to be under the Iron Curtain, so that wouldn't have been good. In the 80s, they would have been either murdered or eaten by mermaids. So yeah, 100%.
Fine, then I'd rather be eaten by mermaids than murdered by police.
Right? 100%, right? Like, they had an honorable death. It's like, we brought these beautiful mermaids back to life. And, you know, I imagine any gay couple would rather that than AIDS or firing squad or, you know.
True.
Right?
Okay, before we break down some songs, because we should do that, I want to talk a little bit more about, like, the mermaids themselves and what they represent, at least. Because I found on Wikipedia that the director likened the mermaids to immigrants, saying that they're used by locals, like in the sex industry, on their way to the real goal, which is America. And they also represent innocence and all that. But I read it as, like, how the music industry corrupts people. grew ups young artists, at least.
I think it can be. Yeah, I mean,
I
think
feel like there's a lot
of
interpretation to this.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's pretty obvious that the director's showing the whole immigrant saga, right? Because mm-hmm. especially because let's call him the illegitimate son.
Not Evan Peters, yes.
Yeah, not Evan Peters, right? So not Evan Peters, the son, doesn't want to have sex with her because he thinks she's a fish. And right, like
blatantly says that.
Blatantly says. So he's very specious. Is that the word? That's a word?
We'll
specious.
Go with it.
Yeah, not racist. He's specious. Specious. So yeah, like, so yeah, 100%. I see that. And just because of the, like, it's like immigrants that come into a society are often given, well, it's funny. Maybe I'm leaning more towards your argument because, you know, there's not very often that immigrants are going to get there to the director's point. They should have seen them pulled into sex working, which they kind of were, but that wasn't their primary role. Their primary role was the entertainment industry.
I mean, this is just my interpretation. It feels like this is definitely like somewhat art house. It's a foreign film. So with what we're given with the translations, like we can interpret different things. And obviously yeah. It's different lived experiences. Like I have not lived the immigrant life. So I don't know what that is like. Apparently it's also based on the director's like life in a way.
Oh, so they're an immigrant to Poland?
Not that. Her mom owned a restaurant, club, whatever the thing is that they perform in. And so like a lot of things she did growing up is experienced through silver. Where, like, she experiences having a cigarette for the first time and drinking and all that. It makes sense, but for me, I also saw it as, like, silver is, like, a cautionary tale for the music industry where you can get influenced and forced to change yourself or think you have to change yourself, but really you shouldn't. 'Cause that whole song where she removes her tail... And they have another person there who gets the tail. Like,
yeah, they did a transplant because they wanted it to be a mermaid.
Well, so Silver wanted to actually have, you know,
a vagina.
Booty hole and a vagina.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she can have sex.
Yes.
As like 2 days after she has surgery, it looks like. Because that scar is not healed by any means.
It's pretty raw, that scar.
But then I was just like, so who's this other woman?
Probably someone who wanted to be a mermaid. Like, you know, now on our planet right now, there is probably thousands of people who would line up to be a mermaid. Thousands.
Yes. Oh,
like it's a whole culture.
I know a few
right?
of them
so,
too. But
yeah,
like,
there you go.
But also,
ask them.
does she get the mermaid magic powers of like, having legs, or is she forced to have a tail? Because
do you remember when we talked about the science of fantasy? What do you want them to have, John? It's okay. Either one is going to be fine because the person that gets the fin is not what the story's about.
Yes, it is. Well,
no, it's not
in that song. Wait, where is it? Hold on. Let me find it.
As I went through the songs, I did not call them by their name because I couldn't do all that work that you did. Thank God you did.
Okay. So
I called it the song where her legs come on.
So the song, I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Polish title. It's translated to a bed. 'Cause she's singing about how she's in a bed and everything.
Yeah.
I wrote down, there's a lot of medical stuff that I think they overlooked, like connecting organs and veins and whatnot. Because you see them, you know, basically line everything up and then suture close the legs to the torso, and I'm like, you're missing like a shitload of steps here.
What are you talking about? This is like fantasy science. This is the only way to do mermaid transplantation. It's like literally a scientific fact. That's how you have to do it. You put them on ice, you do some stuff, sew things together, and that magic happens.
So it's been a minute since I read the Hans Christian Andersen version of The Little Mermaid, but I believe they are somewhat following it, because I think it was more gruesome than what Disney did.
Oh, yeah. Like all of those original fables were pretty, have some pretty good stuff in it.
So like the interesting thing about this one is like, Triton comes in and basically is like, hey, you know The Little Mermaid by Hans Christian Andersen? It's real. So they do it, but it's in a grotesque and violent way with everything. My favorite is the crutches that she barely uses or uses incorrectly.
When she gets onto the treadmill.
When she gets on the treadmill and at the wedding at the end.
Yeah, I'll talk more about that in a little later, if you can guess what my drift is on that one.
I mean, I did write down that at the end, I both like that she turned into foam and we didn't see it, but I also wanted to see it. I also wanted to see her morph into it. But I understand that like they went with a more practical... They were going with more practical things with this.
Yeah, practical effects were... I didn't see any CGI stuff, really, other than overlays.
The transformation.
But they didn't really... You didn't really show that. Like, it was just the one part where you kind of saw the leg happen.
The first time.
And the next scene, they edit. Yeah, but they don't see the whole thing unfold. They just show the leg kind of turning green. And then they cut to the next scene, and they're fully tailed. So it was a very minor piece, and
which I really did appreciate, and I understand it was like probably a very interesting task to be like, let's not rely on CGI.
Yeah,
we're going to use sounds and edits and things like that to understand that they are transforming.
Yeah, everybody that's a true cinema geek, so you are falling in that class, are all about practical effects. Like, you look at, I go back, and if you watch the movie Alien, or sorry, not Alien, The Thing, right? The Thing is one of those ones that almost every single person on the planet who sees The Thing,
John
Carpenter version,
not the original 50s one.
Yeah, not the, well, the original 50s one is still great, but it's a different, you know, The Thing is like the first true science fiction horror movie that elevates practical effects, right? Like, that started practical effects in science fiction and in horror, really, because of how much they put into it. Like, that movie today could never be made because the effects would be so expensive. So they fill all in with crappy filler, you know, CGI stuff,
which they did with the remake or the prequel remake.
Yeah, which isn't great, right? So it's part, you know, if you can put practical effects in your films, that, you know, true geeks will appreciate it 20 times more.
Which also is fascinating for this movie, because there's that moment where not Anna Kendrick, after she kills the guy in his car, and
the first guy,
the first guy, and she crawls her way back to the ocean or the water with her tail. At first I was like, this has to be the fake tail and she's just dragging her legs, and I don't think so. I think that's the makeup tail, you know, that she's crawling, which I guess helps in the performance for the actor as well, because you're like, you're crawling with only your hands
and 50 pounds of tail.
And 50 pounds of tail that's 6 feet long.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating that they went with a lot, like a super long tail for these women.
Well, but think about the science of swimming, right? Like, look at a dolphin's tail. Those are pretty long. Like, the pivot part of a dolphin's tail, right? So,
I mean, part of me is also like, Little Mermaid, Splash, all those other ones where they basically go to the a little bit beyond the feet of the actor or the human. But in this case, they kept going. I get it. Like I said earlier, the director wanted to go with more of a monstrous approach to this, so it makes sense, and it's a little terrifying. Like, I don't know why these people are so like allured, but I get it because of the siren song and everything that they are, but like, I don't know why they're all mesmerized. I'm with Not Evan Peters. They're fish, not people. And
He did like he fell in line with it. So he has sex with her new vagina, and then he had sex with her when she allured him in the bathtub.
did they actually have sex, or is it
I
that she
think
just gave him a
so. That's the
blowy?
well, well, she kind of has two blowholes, I think. But so I'm not really sure, but I want to believe that he did finally, because I think that was that was again showing us that she had the ability. I can make you, what's that song? I can make you love me, right?
Well, the song
So
that they sing is translated to "Take care of me."
yes, well, yeah, she needs that apparently.
What did you think of the songs while we're here? Kind of.
Well, it there's a few that to me that really stood out, and I would say, God, we're like there's so many spoilers now we're giving for later in the episode. So I, there's certain ones
Spoilers for what? We're
for
talking.
what for our playlists.
Oh, well, whatever. What I mean, we're
Whatevs,
here. We can we
whatevs.
we'll re we'll revisit that when we get there.
So yeah, I mean there was a few, and I of course I don't know the words. Labison, the one I liked the most was, well, one of the ones I liked the most was the martini glass one, where and I liked the one where they're at the club with Triton, that heavy
So
song.
the martini glass one is called the banana song, and then the one
No, the
with,
banana song was a banana song. The banana song was the other girl, the other
oh,
girl.
my apologies. It was you are a heartbeat.
Yes.
Yes, that's it. Sorry, the banana song, which is the one where I'm like, oh, we're burlesque.
Yeah, it kind of
I
had
guess
that
this is the
burlesque
sexy part
feel.
of the club that you were talking about earlier, club owner. The one you're thinking of is translated to Colors, and that is one of two actual bands that are in this movie.
That's
So
probably why I liked it.
Triton is not part of it. He's an actor. The rest of the band is the Abstinence, I
Oh,
believe.
okay.
Yeah.
I might have to
I
listen to them.
Google was not happy with the way that I was spelling it, but I was like, this is the name of the band. Please tell me more about them. And I really couldn't find anything. I found like their band camp, but that's it. And then the other band that's in this is Ballady E Romance, which they introduce themselves at the wedding. They're the ones that sing basically the last song of the movie before the credits. Translated to "Give me this night." It's like the beautiful one, and this is where everyone's telling Silver to murder, not Evan Peters.
The other one I really liked was the one where they all, I think it was heroin, got on
Okay,
heroin.
great. Because I have questions about that one too. I was
Well, the
like,
whole scene is kind of, it kind of goes a little bit off the rails, but I really like that song. It's done, it's done, it's done. That one.
Wait, hold on. Let me see if I could find the name of it. Oh, Pelta, Pet Petla, Petla. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Where I was just like, so is everyone dead? Or is everyone just like drunk?
I think that it was a case of their guilt. I think they felt guilt about what they had done. Right. And so being musicians, they're like, you know what? Let's just do some heroin and feel better about ourselves.
That one felt like a true music video out of
Yeah.
all of the songs here. Like earlier, there's the "I Came to the City," which is like the classic Hollywood La La Land inspired, you know, we're going to have everyone dancing and we're breaking the rules or making new rules all
Oh, the
of a
one
sudden?
where they go to the department
Where they go
store?
to the city, yeah.
Yeah, where they go to the department store and go shopping.
On a shopping montage, but like it made me wonder again. I think I overthought on this one. I'm not sure.
Did you not have any weed when you watched this movie?
No, I didn't. I watched it
Oh,
sober.
John, what is wrong with you?
Well, because it's a foreign film, so I didn't want to all of a sudden be like, I could speak Polish. I don't need the subtitles.
You
I
have to
was.
rewatch this again now. You know that, right?
Oh,
Like,
of
you have
course.
to rewatch it in the way
Oh.
it was meant to be watched.
But that's the one where I'm like, are they forcing? Because we know that they have a lore, L-U-R-E, where it's part of their lore, L-O-R-E, that sirens, mermaids can magically sing to people and bring them into the ocean and inevitably cause them to die because of that, right? Great. We've established a baseline of mermaid folklore. I wasn't sure if with this song they were forcing them to dance in a way. And like, I was hoping they would explore a little bit more of that in the movie, where like these two mermaids can make people do whatever they
Special
want.
things. Yeah, you know, they don't directly touch on it. And a lot of times it's very minor. So maybe it's a one-on-one type thing. Maybe they do have that ability. Again, for me, those type of things, when I watch movies, I'm okay that I don't have it. Cause I think what it does is, again, the whole fantasy science thing is it allows fantasy science to maneuver throughout that, right? Like, I think to your point earlier about when you create rules in a movie, people will question the movie a lot, right? So when you don't put rules in the movie, it allows the flexibility of the director to do things, and then he or they or she or whoever can rub it off as saying, you know, it's part of the science of this fantasy, right? So I'm usually okay with those type of things. And the same thing with the, you know, 100%, like when you notice with the tail, they have to be getting, their legs have to be getting wet, right? But
yeah,
you know, if you I mean, you kind of wish they didn't have so many times where it was raining, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, well, maybe they put something on their legs, like Nair, but like not Nair, you know?
Sunscreen,
sunscreen,
but
yeah,
rain
maybe.
screen,
Rain screen, right? Of course.
But I mean, it was this department store moment was very fascinating because all of a sudden we're like in a true musical
dance video. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it did feel like a music video. And we haven't talked about like movies that are music videos, but I have done other episodes where it's like they strung together 12 music videos very loosely. But this one, like, they integrated the music with the story, and then you get this moment and the one we were talking about where they're all on heroin.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, we're now, and then there's another music video like song, which is The Fly is what it's translated to when Golden sings it. This song is then later reprised at the wedding. I don't know if you picked up on that.
Yeah.
Where not Evan Peters and Vanessa, as I called her because of Little Mermaid. They sing it as a duet and it's a bop, but when Golden sings it, it's a little, this is what you were talking about too earlier, where she's talking about how she needs to eat and she's questioning things and everyone's frozen and she's walking through the apartment trying to fuck with everybody. But
yeah,
the
that
rest of
also
the
felt like a video.
songs felt like they were in universe.
Yeah,
it's just like, I wish you just picked one. pick Establish one. Or establish your own rules for these mermaids and don't follow Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, well, I guess in Europe, right, it's, again, it's much more part of their lore, right? Like, the
L-U-R-E.
North Americans. Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Huh? What? Yeah. There's too many vowels. Yeah. So I sort of agree with you in the sense, but at the other time, I think those times within the movie when the music video happens, it's kind of back, maybe back to one of your earlier points about the actual industry itself, right? And that thing is, it's like they can have a dance number because this is what happens when you're famous, right? Like, right. It's a dance number, famous dance number, right? And it's stereotypical of that era and process of being taken into the industry. So to me, it was kind of like, okay, yeah, this is what it looks like. This is what my dream is. This is what I imagine the world is. And so it fits into that universe. For me, they found that in the one where she's, you know, frozen everybody. I think that's the point where she realizes that she's in a different world than the rest of these people, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it kind of isolates. It's isolating to her. So I felt it fit within the cast of the film of how they've created it. If that makes sense.
The other one that was really confusing was Kronos, which is right before the newscast comes out about the murdered victim, the murder it's so weird where dad's in a spotlight, the girls are dancing on the couch, everyone's happy, and I was just like, who's imagining this? Like, whose imagination are we in right now?
Ours, I guess. See, if you would have had the weed, you would have been fine with that part.
If I'd been not sober. I mean, this movie, I've only heard of this movie before. I've never seen it before, like I said. And so I enjoyed it. If I wasn't doing it for this and just watching it straight through and actually watching it for the hour and a half that it is, I think it would have been more entertaining than me trying to figure out what order the songs are in. So
yeah,
that's on me. But
yeah, but you've done this before too, and I think it's whenever I get you to watch a movie, maybe you don't do this with everybody else, but like you should just get in the habit when you and I get together, watch the movie the way it was intended without doing any filter.
Nope.
Enjoy
you
the
get
experience.
One shot. Everyone
get
gets one shot.
Experience. You get one experience. Yeah, but you have to sometimes rewatch them because of that reason.
Sometimes I rewatch them, but you get one shot. Like, time is precious, you know?
I only have so much time in a day.
Can only watch movies so many times in a row before I'm like, I can't watch you anymore. But this one, it was very interesting. I know I have it. This episode's coming out on Halloween, but I don't think this is as spooky as I was hope or horror-y as I was hoping it would be.
Yeah, I mean, it's
because the way that I was told, I was like, this is a horror musical. And
yeah,
I was like, oh, that's
not
cool.
Sweeney Todd, like where right?
Which is an opera in a way.
Oh yeah. And also it's pretty gruesome, right?
Very gruesome.
But you know, I think it fits because I mean, how many horror musicals?
There's only so many horror musicals,
right?
In the world.
There's only so many times you can do Phantom of the Paradise at Halloween.
That's a good one too. I've done.
Oh,
that.
It is a good one. I love
it
that
is
movie.
A good one.
It's like one of my favorite movies of all times.
Oh, I just thought of this. So to go back to my own personal theory on this being about the music industry, I think like when the family dumps the mermaids into the water stupidly, I believe that's supposed to be in bands, you know,
yeah.
When there's the Rumours album from Fleetwood Mac, in other words, I think that's what that was supposed to represent. And then like when Silver loses her voice because she got legs, because she wants to fuck.
And who doesn't?
Sorry, I just had to say it. And they're there's like, no clitoris okay.
on your tail. That's, I think, what maybe. No.
Is that that's a sad thing too? Because I was just like, oh, is she gonna feel anything? Like, to go to the science portion, like, back to this, is she gonna feel anything?
Fantasy or... science, it's gonna happen for sure.
Well, there was a moment when we were watching the sex scene happen, and it looks like she doesn't feel anything besides pain because of the scars, not because of how painful the first time is for people, but like because of her surgery. And that's maybe ultimately why they stop having sex, because she bleeds on him, but it's the scar itself. Anyway, but I think like this is supposed to be like other movies about bands where it's like the rise and fall.
Mm-hmm.
And so like when they dump them in the water, that's like the turd where they're starting to fall. And then like they say, hey, Golden, not Anna Kendrick, you're going to have to sing solo tonight because your sister did a stupid and can't sing anymore. And Golden's like, no, fuck you. We're a duo. I'm not we're a solo duo. Act.
Exactly. Way to go, Golden.
Way to go, Golden. I'm going to go sing with Triton for a hot second.
Yes.
But Jim, is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
Yeah, you know, so when I saw this originally, this is one of those films. It's a pleasant surprise to traditional musicals, to traditional folklore films. Like, it to me, it was, and again, you know that I'm not a huge fan of musicals in general, but I am of operas. And so when I see a musical that's done so well, it always impresses me. Like if I see it at a film festival, I'm like, okay, I'm going to see this musical. Because if it's in there, I'm assuming it's going to be outstanding. And this was, it was such a breath of fresh air to me, because, you know, there's lots of movies where they'll bring in different folklore or different tales of the past or whatever. And sure, they do creative things with it, but it's not very often, especially when you're dealing with this type of folklore with mermaids or sirens, right? Where it actually, they did it justice to say, you know, here's an original story, even though it's got some influences, and we're gonna, these are musical creatures, let's keep it a musical. So to me, I think, you know, if anyone else had made this movie, and well, okay, let me just throw an insult to the Hollywood, is that if Hollywood made this movie, it probably wouldn't have been a musical back in 2016, whenever this came out.
2015.
That's what I think. 2015, yeah. I don't think they would have made it that way. So that's one of the things about art house cinema from foreign countries, is that they really do embrace that in their cultures.
Yeah, I agree with everything you're saying. And I'm hoping for more from this person. I mean, I hope this person makes another musical movie, because I liked their eye with things. I like the camera work. I liked all the technical stuff with it. And I really did appreciate, like, they were, it feels like they had free reign. Like, they didn't get studio noted up the wazoo like they do in Hollywood. I can't speak for other film industries around the world, but I know I've heard stories about how like a lot of movies are ruined because the studios gave notes in America. So, but this honestly feels like it's the director's vision, and the right, the screen, her and the screenwriter like worked well together, it seems like. He had it was based off of her shared her experience of growing up in the bar, and then he wrote about like two party girls he knew back in his day who would go to clubs and stuff like that. So like they were like, oh, it's a passion project, but in a positive way, not in a like, oh, this was a passion project and you can tell.
How did this even get made?
How did this get made? Wrong
Yeah.
podcast.
But
Anyway.
but I was gonna say, you also, you never, like, how long ago did you hear about this musical?
Probably like a year ago.
Okay. And how did it come about from you hearing about it?
So I heard about it from friend of the pod, Michael Verratti. He's been a guest on this a couple of times. He's like a big in the horror scene, you know, and his first movie that we did was a Disney Channel original movie
Oh God.
called Teen Beach Movie.
Oh God, I know
Which was
that.
insane, but I loved it. And so he, you know, I was like, "Oh, you're Mr. Horror. Do you have any like horror themed movies that you could suggest for like hot, spooky season?" And he gave me a little bit of a list, and this one was one of them. And I was like, "That's very interesting. You know, it's mermaids and horror and everything." So, and on that note, let's get into Strap and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. If we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. What do you want to start with?
So as we've already alluded to, my biggest flat is that this wasn't an opera,
Of
because I
course.
think it easily could have been an opera.
Do you
I
know how many
think,
times that's been your flat for
well,
episodes that you've been on?
it's because it could, it's my flat every time. So just, you know, it's already there. Listen, I should just do an edit clip. I think if you're going to make the effort, especially with, you know, this type of movie, it should have been an opera. So I don't know. I think you feel that way too, right?
I mean, if it's gonna be almost wall to wall music, like go for it. Though I do appreciate what they did, I think
Yes.
they could have gone further with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you have any other flats?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a couple.
Great.
So the other one, the other big one for me wasn't the fantasy science. For me, it was how quickly he went from, you know, being related to her and having human fish sex with her, to all of a sudden just finding another girl, and it was like bam, bam. It was almost like they had to get the ending happen faster. Because that whole transition of her getting her legs and then her having sex with him, and then it was like one scene he meets some girl in the
A
recording
studio.
studio, and then the next scene they're getting married. So it was like they didn't show enough of her transition, and then, you know, she's got this giant smile on her face during the wedding, which also to me didn't fit where the story was going, unless she was just in shock and that's where her facial expressions went. So,
So this is where makeup comes into play, because if you notice throughout the whole movie, Silver, the one that we're talking about, has
yeah.
less severe makeup than her sister because she's
Yes.
supposed to be the good twin and the other one's supposed
Yep.
to be the evil twin.
Yep.
And there's a moment, there's a song, Abracadabra, that's the name of the song, where they're dressed in like the punk with the makeup across their eyes and everything. And I feel like they made Golden a little more severe than they did Silver, even though the actress who plays Silver like looks like an alien and has that otherworldly appearance that I think they just gave her black contacts and was like, go. But yeah, it was interesting that, you know, she didn't even try to fight for him. It feels like he went, oh, here's Vanessa. I'm gonna bang her because she's a human, not you. You're now a fish turned into a human.
Yeah,
Maybe, wait. Can we see a transgender metaphor as well in this?
oh, yeah, maybe.
She did
Maybe.
technically have bottom surgery.
She did, yeah, I guess, but
I don't
yeah,
know.
because
I
is
don't know
there
if that
sex
may have
that
been an
mermaids have?
intention.
That's, yeah.
It may have been, I don't know if that's intentional, But I also am now foreseeing for our trans sisters and brothers out there. This may be a metaphor for the trans experience as well.
Wow. Yeah. Maybe.
We right? got there.
Yeah, we got there. You know what? It's covered every. This movie covers everything.
It covers everything.
There's no
except
stone
for horror.
Unturned.
I feel like I needed a little bit more, like one more victim. You know.
I think they could have had maybe five or six more victims.
Yeah, but at least one.
Well, they had a shared victim, so that was cool. Even though it wasn't.
They had the gay couple. They had the random guy. Maybe the police woman. I mean,
maybe
she did put a
woman.
Gun to her head.
Yep.
But then she licked
that was
the
her
scale.
Kink,
so.
I think that was her kink, though. Right? She's a cop. You know, she's got
a police woman. Yeah. There's a whole song about her.
Yeah, a whole gun kink going on there. Probably should have seen them like giving a big blowjob to that long nozzle on that gun. Just like. Who knows? Yeah, I guess I'll throw that in as one of my flats. Maybe they didn't have enough horror. I'll leave it with that.
Okay. My first flat is for the English translation. Like I said, once I learned what the actual title translates to, I didn't trust the translation as much as I probably should have, because I feel like some things were missing, some things were lost in translation. Like some of the lyrics felt like gobbledygook. Like they literally went to a one-to-one translation with them. Flat is for the restaurant owner being a pervy creep. I'm not sure that first interaction he had with the mermaids, if he raped them.
Yeah. I don't know either, but you know what? It's again,
his 80s.
Character is supposed to be he's also supposed to be pervy, right? Like
supposed to be pervy, sleazy, and all that.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm flatting him, because he's pervy and sleazy.
But okay, so you're flatting the character, not the fact that he was written that way. Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, in general, can we say we don't like pervy rapists? I mean, that's
correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm on board with that.
My other flat is for killing the gay lovers. I was very upset when that happened.
Even though they had an honorable death in Poland in the 80s.
Yes, but still, representation.
It matters. Yeah,
it matters.
They could have been at the wedding.
And then my last flat is the dumbest flat of all times. Matt Koplik, if you're listening, here's another John Reilly Sorbet flat. My flat is to whomever wrote in the IMDb trivia, first song in the club is obviously an quote homage to I Feel Love by Donna Summer. It is not a fucking homage. It is I Feel Love. Fuck you, you fucking moron.
I don't think they know what the word homage means. I think,
no, they don't. Maybe this one was also Google translated from Polish to English.
Maybe the word homage in Poland was. Do you know if it was written in Poland? Polish?
No, I didn't. It doesn't say that. It just I see the English translation. But like, you know, I was looking up trivia. I was trying to like find some fun things. That quote was pretty fun, and I went an homage. It is. It's just written down like an octave or two for this person. I mean, which leads into sharps. I'm going to sharp the fact that I didn't write this down, but I'm now adding it. I'm sharping that the actors are actually singing. It's not dubbed. Those people are performing. I also did a cursory glance, and none of them are like actor singers or anything like that. So from what I read briefly, so if anyone knows if they are actually singers, I'd like to know and give them more praise. But the fact that they are actually singing and singing well, I'll add that.
Yeah, 100%. I'll throw, because you know, there's no sense repeating things that you're repeating. I'm just going to add on to what you're saying. That was one of my sharps for sure, is wow, like the harmonies were so tight between the two mermaids. Like when they were singing, I was like, oh my God, like I am enthralled with the singing in this. Like, kudos. Don't know if they're singers. I assume they have to be singers. Like, you can't sing that well and not be a singer. Like, you have to be.
Right, but like,
is that their first profession? I don't know.
I don't think so. Because like one of them, I think the one who plays Golden is also a writer. Like, she wrote books.
Maybe she's just super talented. Like that. So here's my take on singers in general. Is that what classifies you as a singer? If you're someone who sings, not necessarily in your bathroom, but you have performed live singing, you are a singer. That's my opinion. Now,
but
whether
I'm
or not
singer,
you're a good
technically.
Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Right. Like, whether you are good as a singer, because there's a lot of singers who can't sing because they use auto-tune. Don't even get me started on auto-tune. That's a whole other...
I mean, obviously they used it in this movie just to give them like that ethereal...
Yeah, of course. But, you know, like as in an entire song done through auto-tune, I want to gouge my ears out. Like, if you can't sing, don't sing, just rap. You know, like you don't have to...
Don't even do that.
Yeah.
Don't sing at all.
Yeah, don't sing at all. You know what? So that to me, it's like if you're a singer if you sing. And whether an actor first, singer second, I think the singing in this was done brilliantly.
I'm also, and I think you're going to agree with me on this one. I'm also going to give a sharp to the makeup department. Because like, it was very clean. The tails, the prosthetics that they used to make them look like Barbie dolls. Mm-hmm. Like it was clean. And I don't know how they did any of that. I'm pretty sure I could figure it out, but like, I'm going to leave this up to the magicians that they are and not even try.
Science fantasy.
I also want to sharp the random lady knitting in the beginning when we go through the restaurant. I don't know what she does, but she's knitting. And I was like, you know what? I want that job. I can knit and I will knit on the job if I were you, lady. And then my last sharp is for the I came to the city choreography, the department store moment. It was really like the only true dancey dance. Like there's that Abracadabra has some sort of choreography, but it's like, this is like, we are doing choreo.
Yeah.
5, 6, 7, 8 kick.
Yeah, that was it. That was a big production. Big production for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I enjoyed that they were playing with style as well. Fuck it. Sharp to the style changes in this. We had punk, we had rock, we had synth pop, we had musical theater, we had everything. So I like that they were exploring. And this is a rare occasion where I'm going to agree with you. I wish it was an opera.
Oh,
where we got even more styles and more things. Like the overdose song was a different style entirely. So
yeah.
But
yeah, go ahead. Sorry. What?
And I like that it wasn't a string of music videos, because it could have gone that way very easily.
Yeah.
But it didn't. So I like that it was a movie first. And then they were like, okay, now let's choreograph these crazy musical moments.
Yeah. I'm going to, you know, copy your sharp on that specifically about the style and the musical style. I think they kind of tried to hit every popular musical style of the 80s covered all in there. The only thing is maybe, I was going to say maybe not the ballad, but they had a couple of those too. So yeah, on top of that style of the musical stylings, I also think stylistically the way that this is shot was done so well. So from a film perspective as opposed to a music perspective, I really like the way the style, the color saturations, the the lighting, the sound in it in general, and like listening to this. I have a surround sound, you know, home theater with a 90-inch TV.
We get it. You're fancy. God.
Yeah. And listening to it on there, it did feel like I was in the cinema. Like the way that the sound mix was in this was just so brilliant. There were so many attentions to details that in a lot of other movies, they drop the details. But this, they put the attention to detail in the effects. They put the attention to detail in the sound and lighting. They did it in the musical stylings. They did it in the music. Yeah, to me, this, the sharpness is the fact that they were unashamed or unabashedly just putting it out there. This is what we want. And we're making a lore, L-O-R-E, that is a musical. So, like, loved it.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist? You can tell me the scene and I'll tell you the English translated name. How's that?
So I did like the one with Triton, the Triton one. And
the colors.
I like the one that the OD one. And I really like the opening song, the very opening song where they're luring them out of the water.
The Mermaid's Calling.
Yeah. And sorry to add on to that, one of the sharps of that is that once they used the word in the song, at least in my subtitles on my, I was watching, they didn't add it again. So they were teaching you Polish as you watch the movie, because they would sing the song and put the lyrics up there. And then when they would repeat it, they wouldn't continue to put that lyric up there. They had said, you need to know what that word is, because we just taught you Polish, motherfuckers.
They did the same thing in the department store number, where they said a line, they said the line, and then they repeated it, but there was no English translation. They're like, we taught you, that's it.
That's right. If you get one relearn it,
like John watching this, you get one shot.
Exactly. And if you don't speak Polish now, you may never. So yeah, that was, yeah, I think those three in particular were ones that I could see myself listening to again.
I wrote down Take Care of Me, which is the one where not Evan Peters has sex with her in the tub.
Yeah. But
there's a shit ton of dream sequences going on. Mm-hmm. Abracadabra, which is the one where they're dressed the same in the club with the black, the mohawk and the ripped fishnets and everything. I also added Petla, which was the OD number. And then Muka. I'm going to go with Muka because I don't think it's pronounced like it is in Spanish. But the wedding version, where it's not Evan Peters and Vanessa, who I'm calling Vanessa. It's not her name. I don't know her name. They never say her name. They're singing and it's poppy and it's synthy and all that. So, I mean, it's I catchy. Think as I was watching this, like I did pull, like I said, I did pull the album up on iTunes. So it was very difficult. There was a moment where I was like, should I just buy this? Like, should I just get it and give them my money and everything?
Oh, so do you not have Apple, whatever music?
I don't.
Oh, okay. Because you buy everything. Yeah.
I'd rather buy it and then, well, it for me, it works. I think it works better to buy it. So this way, like when I'm on the subway underground and everything, I don't lose out on music. Mm. You know, I can download it to my phone and I don't have to worry about Wi-Fi or
yeah,
data.
I can download stuff.
I don't know. I don't make the rules.
You just make them for yourself. I think that's honorable.
And I give them money. I like to give the artist money. Give artists money. Give me your money.
That's why it's honorable.
And on that note, Jim, we're done with the episode.
No.
I know. I'm sorry. The sirens are going back to the water. You know, they both lived. They both lived in our case.
Or maybe, you know what? Maybe Silver's happy being foam now. You know, it's not.
I think it would have been a cool, like, I understand that they probably didn't want to do a lot of CGI, but I wish I saw it.
Yeah, I'm okay. She's, you know what? I like the ending here because, you know, she's dead. Yeah. So she's foam. But the
she's
other one
foam
could have been
and
she,
Golden got her revenge.
Yeah, totally ripped his throat out. But then they just maybe ran out of budget. I think that's what happened. They ran out of budget because I think that's why the transition from my flat was, it was too quick, a turnaround. I think they could have added another 10 minutes.
Or that's how they wanted it to be, and that's it. Anyway, Jim, what do you have to plug or promote?
You can find Film Rage Podcast everywhere you podcast by just searching Film Rage Podcast. Also, everywhere online, go to our website at filmrageyyc.com. It has every movie that we've ever reviewed, which is thousands.
Have you done this one?
No, we haven't. Actually, we both saw this movie before we became a podcast. So it isn't one that we've actually reviewed. Yeah. Because again, we're a new release. We do new release to cinema for the most part, unless people dare us to see things. And then we watch them because we're
Which
dared.
I did.
Yes, we've got a recording of it. We're saving it for a special occasion. So
I'm so excited to hear it because I already forgot what we said. It's been so long.
It was. But you know what? You and us were infinite. So, you know, if we release it 10 years from now, it'll be like, wow.
Wow. Remember that time? They were so young.
Yeah. Listen to their voices.
They have voices. And if you, I don't know, if you want to talk mermaids with me. If you, the audience, want to talk more mermaids with me, you can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Yeah. What did you think of the rules of this movie? Do you think if they added like another 5-10 minutes, it would have been like perfect? So this way Jim could get the time jump that he needs and we can get a little bit more. Just a little bit more. I'm not mad that it's an hour and a half. I will say that. But if you gave me like another 5 minutes, I wouldn't be mad.
Yep. And also you forgot to ask him, should it be an opera?
Should it be an opera? You're right. That may be a poll on Instagram if I remember to do that.
Please do it.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're done with spooky season, and I thought it'd be hilarious to pair this next movie with this one, and that is the 2021 My Little Pony movie. Come on, murderous mermaids to ponies.
Unicorns and mermaids. There you go.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for popping back on. We've got plans for you in the new year, so we'll see what happens. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.